Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome to the AlfredaLoveShow.com and also the StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host this evening, Dr. Alfreda Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, I am so excited and delighted that each and every one of you have decided to tune in to the AlfredaLoveShow.com and StellarGospelMusic.com. Actually, we have 225 individuals on the line. Thank you so much. Continue to text somebody, tell somebody that the AlfredaLoveShow.com is on, StellarGospelMusic.com is on, and be sure to continue to tune in because we have more live updates. Listen, I'm going to read to you. Before I read to you, I want to thank God, my family, my friends, and all of you for tuning in. But I'm going to read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. And then we are going to have a motivational talk about coming out of the foxhole. And in that perspective, there are different dimensions. And what I mean by dimensions is that there are different routes, if you will, that the Lord want me to take with this explanation. And so with this explanation, yes, 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 you're going to need an open mind. You're going to need a paper, and you're going to need a pen or pencil to write with. If you're one of those auditory listeners, you're still going to need something to write with, because when the unction of the Spirit is moving, even those with high intellect who select to just hear rather than be doers and participate by scribing or writing down notes, you kind of get lost in the shuffle because the unction of the Spirit moves like the water, God says. And once you take your eyes off of one quarter of the water, then you miss out on that part and the different functions of that part. And I want to say this before we get started. Did you know that when we look at the river, for instance, in Texas, we have the Brazos River. When you look at the river, we look at a body, God says, of water. Okay? We look at a body of water. So when you go out to the Brazos River, don't jump in. Just look at it and think about what I'm saying. When you go to the Brazos River, you see this water. It may be blue. It may be different colors. I have no idea because so many things happen in the Brazos River. But you see a body of water, and in your mind, intellectually, you think that that body of water is whole. You think that that is a mass of water. All that water belongs together. Did you know that each sprinkle, each drop of water has a function that we cannot see? Did you know that? It's not all, that water is not all together. In other words, there are, each speckle of water has a certain purpose in the river in order to make it a whole. So God says, before we even get started, he said, there are some people who are listening and will listen who are broken. They look whole because why? We go daily and we look whole, but we are broken inside. We are broken. And the reason why we are broken is because we're in dismal situations. We continuously wait in the foxhole. And in order to understand this precept or this concept or this story or this lesson that God is going to give, you have to understand that 50 and 50 equals a whole. But in that whole, there is a void. We are going to intertwine. Before we even get started, I want to prepare your mind because I want you to know that we're not going to move in a direct way. God is going to use parables and stories. He even talk about soul ties when he talk about relationships and friendships and people. But I want you to go ahead and write the number 3 on your piece write the number 3 and don't do anything with that. Don't think about it until we get to it. Okay. How y'all doing? All right. Ooh, I get excited. Good Lord from heaven. My heart is racing. I'm ready. Here we go. Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. Oh. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. Listen, I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thy Savior, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, we thank you for giving us one more opportunity to be in your presence with hundreds of people. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless those who are in the hospitals, those who are in the convalescent homes, those who are going in the hospitals, those who are coming out. Would you continue to heal us from the top of our extremities to the lower part of our bodies? Would you touch us with your finger of love? We ask in the name of Jesus, if there is anything broken, would you fix it? If anything has a Humpty Dumpty spirit, would you fix it? We thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be able to reach out our hands to pull ourselves out of the foxhole as well as others. We ask, would you continue to give us the revelation and give us the proclamation and the story in order to help us to become better for you. We ask now, Lord, that we relinquish our hands and our heart and our ears and our eyes and the voice that perpetuates or comes out of our mouth. We ask that it be something that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. As we go through these dimensions of life and the number 3 that is so very persistent and waiting on us as we prepare for this lesson, we ask that you bless each person, you're saying each member of the body of God, to understand what your revelation is. We ask that you simplify it in a way that even a baby could understand. Lord God, we ask that not only will we understand, but we be able to react to your divine power and your connection. Would you help us to be magnetic to your wisdom and infinite to your understanding? We ask, Lord, would you help us to continue to have ears to hear, sharpen our eyes to see, and help us to understand your will. If there's anyone right now who is broken or torn down, we ask, would you put them back together again? Not only as a fixture, but as an ultimate whole in which you are acceptable and pleased with. If there's anything on our minds and our hearts that's not like you, we ask, would you remove it right now? If there's anything in our hands that shouldn't be, we ask that you remove it right now. If we're partaking of anything that's not like you right now, we ask, would you rebuke whatever that is, whatever spirit that is. If there is any spirits on the line who needs a fixing, we ask, would you fix those spirits. And now, Lord, as I evaluate myself in the very presence of not only you but others who are listening for a word, for a revelation, I ask that you continue to encamp around me and to help me to be a better person, to help me to continue to shine my light in this dark world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the success of each thing that's going to happen this week. We pray, Heavenly Father, for each project, each game, each meeting, each opportunity, each door that's going to happen this week. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you anoint Monday, would you anoint Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. Now, Lord, as we relinquish this prayer, we ask that we never be relinquished out of your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, and thank God. All right, I want you, before we start with our first song by Sister Diana Ross, I want you to do me a favor. You have the number 3. Under the number 3, I want you to write foxhole. And I want you to leave a space because I want you to know what a foxhole is. Maybe you didn't serve in the military. Maybe you didn't study this in science. So we're not going to assume anything. And I want you to write the word fox. And I want you to write, after fox, you're going to write the word hole, W-H-O-L-E. And leave that number 3 up there and go ahead and circle the number 3. God is going to do some things with the number 3 on tonight, and we must understand this particular function of how it encompasses us and what we can do in order to become a better number 3 for God. Amen? Amen. We are going to listen to Sister Diana Ross, and she's singing this song, Do You Know Where You're Going To? And the reason why and the rationale behind this particular song by Diana Ross, who is, by the way, she is one of the greatest legendary, she's an R&B soul singer. And Diana Ross is well known all in the music industry. But with this particular song, Do You Know Where You're Going? When God delivers us out of situations, when he delivers us out of circumstances, when he delivers us out of a deserted place, many of us become wild and we run around like wild hyenas. But God says that he has a plan for our lives. And so this is very strategic in the question, do you know where you're going? I'm going to tell you, God is going to give a lot of people a lot of Lazarus experiences. You've been looking for a breakthrough. God is going to raise you up. You've been looking for a change. God is going to raise you up. You've been looking for something. God is going to raise you up. But when God raises you up, some of us, we put our hands over our ears as if we don't hear God. And we just, as I said before, run around like a wild hyena. But I want you to think prophetically. When I say prophetically, I'm not saying that God has given you that gift, but I want you to think, where would God want me to go when he gets me out of this situation? Where would God want me to go when he gets me out of this place? Where does God want me to go when he delivers me from this here? Where does God want me to go when he gets me out of this place of wanting? Where is it? Think about it. And then I'm going to come to you after this song because God is going to share some things as we're listening to Sister Diana Ross. But do you really know where you're going to? God is going to do some great things. He's going to get you out of some situations. He's going to bless you financially. He's going to help your family. You know, he's going to bring some happiness and joy into your life. Do you know where you're going? Do you know? And that's the question. This is Sister Diana Ross, and this is from the movie soundtrack.
Thank you.
Amen. That was Sister Diana Ross. And the basic gist of that, or the purpose of playing that particular song, was, do you know where you're going? Because I'm going to tell you, and I've been telling you for the past few weeks, I said that God is doing and is going to do some magnificent things in our lives, and we have to understand how to take care and maintain what God gives us. We have to be able to do that. Okay? I want you to focus on the number 3. And this particular number represents, in this particular genre, in this particular story, in this particular presentation that I'm bringing to you, it represents you. It represents us as the, I want you to write this down for number 3, the body, the soul, and the spirit. The body, the soul, and the spirit. I ask that you write down the word foxhole under the number 3. And before we get into the revelation or prophecy of what God wants us to know, you must understand what a foxhole is. First of all, we're going to visit science. In science, a foxhole is a dwelling place or a living place in which a fox resides or which a fox lives. These foxes spend numerous days and sometimes weeks building these holes in the ground. And what happens is when these foxes begin to build these holes, these foxes make it into a den, kind of like the den in your house. That's where all the foxes gather. This is for the kids. That's where all the foxes gather. It's kind of like a den in your house, a family room in your house. All the foxes gather there. That's their home. That's where foxes live. They live in a foxhole, which is in the ground. So when they build these particular things, the foxes go in there, and sometimes they go in there just to cool off. I said that that's their habitat. That's their home. I said that they go in there to eat. They go in there and seek out predators. And what I really want you to focus on, and I'm going to show you how to build a foxhole, because I want you to look at this foxhole because it's going to relate to us as people. So get another sheet of paper and put it side by side with your notes. So all I want you to do, all I want you to do is build a circle. Excuse me, draw a circle. Within that circle, I want you to put another circle. Okay? Looks like a donut. For some of you, I can tell you to draw a wheel. Some of you, I can tell you to draw a donut. Some of you, I can tell you to draw a circle and then a circle within that circle. Well, I want you to look at the circle within the circle, which is the middle of the circle. Okay? And in the middle of the circle, I want you to put how many ever circle, baby circles you want. Okay? That's a foxhole. Those foxes stay in there. Okay? You can see that there is an opening. Okay? In this particular foxhole, but you can also see the earth around it. You can see the things surrounding it. If you want to get creative, if you're an artist, you can draw trees. If you want to get creative, you can draw grass. It doesn't really matter, because that's not the point. The point is that you need to understand that these foxes, they are in the center, okay? And so what happens is, if you go down to your space that you did not draw this particular foxhole or this picture, you will see that it's empty, okay? All right, so what these foxes basically do a lot of times is they remain in their foxhole. And when they see different animals, right, you've heard about the prey and the predator. This is science, y'all. We're still in science. You've heard about the prey and the predator. All right, the predator is seeking the prey. Think about it. The predator is a longer, more letters, and the prey is shorter letters, okay? And we're not talking about, like, prey as in prayer. We're talking about prey with the E. We're talking about as in the prey is the innocent one, and the predator is the one who's after the prey. So what happens, I want you to, so you won't get confused, I want you to put the fox as the predator. And I want you, in that space, I want you to put prey, P-R-E-Y. Okay? No puns intended, for real. All right. Now, we're still on the foxhole. We're still on science, okay? I'm going to take you through science, and I'm going to take you through some other things because part of the Word of God is understanding how it relates to the real world, okay? So we're going to take our time. All right. So you have this particular picture, and you have, I asked you to put the little circles, which represents the fox, and then I told you the fox, all of the foxes will be predators, and then I told you where you didn't draw anything, those are the preys. So what the fox do is a fox will sit in this particular foxhole. And so when the fox see this prey, you just wrote the word P-R-E-Y, okay? When the fox see this prey, the fox either jumps out at the prey or waits till the prey gets close enough, and that prey becomes the predator's dinner, lunch, or whatever, okay? So, the foxhole, all right? The foxhole. That's what a foxhole is as far as science. It's a place. All you need to know is it's a place where foxes live. All right, good. That's science. We can scratch that off. We covered science. All right, let's look at it in a more militant way. Let's go to social studies, okay? Many times when men and women go to war or even on the rifle range, there will be foxholes. These foxholes can be 2 to 3 feet. It just depends. They can be bigger, okay? And a foxhole in the military means that it's a place in which you position yourself in order to get ready to fight, not with your fists, but with your weapons. You have M16 in your hand, and you're getting ready to practice with targets, or if you're in a war, there are real people. There are enemies on the other side, and you use the foxhole for protection, or you use the foxhole for your enemies. Okay, so that's social studies. So in these foxholes, you have when men and women go to war, okay, and those who are on the front line, right, they particularly use these particular foxholes that are built. Now, these foxholes are dwelling places also for those who are in the military, especially when they're in battle. When we look at, if we want to go to social studies, when we look at the Battle at the Alamo and things of that nature, they had foxholes. So these men and women are in these holes, and they have weapons in their hands, right? And so with these weapons, they are basically using the foxholes in order to rest, in order for protection, in order to protect them. That's the main reason. And sometimes foxholes are also used as eating places because they're in battle or because they're in training. So, for instance, when I was in the military on the rifle range, we always trained in a foxhole, right? We had targets about 5 feet from us, even further, and we had to hit those targets, right? Well, the foxholes were used in order to not only stabilize us, but also to give us practice as to how a foxhole feels and the significance or the importance of a foxhole. Now, you have to understand, in the military, a foxhole can carry up to 1 all the way to 10 people, and that gets kind of crowded, right? But basically, all you need to know about a foxhole for the military is a foxhole is utilized when soldiers go to battle or when they're in training drills. And this is usually, foxholes are usually used in order to protect soldiers, okay, when they're in battle or when they're going through different drills. It's assimilation or it's a demonstration or it's practice, okay? All right, so that's history. Now, when we talk about real life, dealing with civilians, dealing with people who are in the world. If you go back to the story of Baby Jessica, I want you to write down Baby Jessica because I want you, after you get finished with this show, I want you to look at it. Baby Jessica. Baby Jessica, back in the 80s, I remember, Jessica McClure, this happened in Midland, Texas, actually, in 1987. Okay, 1987 in Midland, Texas, there was this 18-month-old baby who fell in this hole. And you could call it a foxhole because it was pretty deep. But this hole was used because the city was working on some things, and they built this hole. Well, Baby Jessica fell in this hole, and she was down deep, deep, deep. And so it took these men and women, it took them several days in order to rescue Baby Jessica. And everybody, I mean, this was the story of all times. And now Jessica, baby Jessica's grown and she's doing well. But I want you to read about that. So in that particular situation, that particular hole was used as a way for the workers to navigate underground in order to have something with electricity. But what you need to know about the foxhole in the real world is that foxholes can be dangerous if you fall in, okay, unintentionally. Foxholes can be very dangerous. That's what you need to know. That's a real-world experience. Okay. Now, those are the significant points that you need to know about a foxhole. You now understand what a foxhole is. You understand that it's a place. You understand that soldiers can go in foxholes, foxes can go in foxholes, people can fall in foxholes. You understand that. Okay? Now, let's talk about the fox. Okay? All right. The fox is, most of the foxes are red, right? And the fox, of course, is responsible for building the foxhole. But I want you to focus your mind off of the fox. And where that fox is, I want you to substitute your name. For instance, Alfreda. So now you are the fox. Okay? That's all I want you to put there. Don't think about anything else because we're going to bring this together and then we're going to go into the revelation of God. Now, the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, right? When we think about whole, you know, in math we always draw a circle, right? And we say, okay, let's split it down the middle and that's 50-50, right? You get half and I get half, right? Or we'll split it quarter. We'll split it, right? But for purposes of this particular revelation or demonstration, a whole is a circle, okay? But within that whole, we have a lot of fractions. We have a half, we have a third, we have a fourth, we have a fifth, okay? And if you look at all these fractions, that doesn't equal 100% or a whole. So there's something going on here. There's something wrong. Something's not right. Right? And so our message today is that we're going to get out of the fox hole. We are predators. We become predators when we remain in the fox hole. A foxhole for a person who is not in the military, who is not a fox, but a real person, these are the characteristics that you may experience because you're in a foxhole. Anger, division, jealousy, malice, hatred, wanting, irritability, stress, depression, woe is me, lying, cheating, stealing, accusing, you get the gist. Foxhole. Foxhole tendencies. Why? Because I want you to look back at your picture at the foxhole. The foxhole tendencies tend to remain there and become a part of your life because you continue to remain in the foxhole. And every person who comes toward the foxhole or every person that you see becomes a prey. Why? Because you see that the prey is trying to survive. And, for instance, you see that the prey is trying to thrive and do what they're supposed to do. You see that the prey has a soul tie because usually if you look at preys and they know that they're preys, for instance, if you look at lions, they run together. If you look at tigers, they run together. If you look at foxes, they run together. It's very seldom that you, deers even, it's very seldom that you go to the jungle or you go to the woods and you see a prey by just alone. It's very seldom. And so because this foxhole, because let's just put ourselves as the predator, because you have to have this assimilation, even if you're not the predator, let's pretend like it, because I want you to assimilate and get the feel of how these people actually think. So you're the predator, and you see that these prey, for instance, let's just say that the predators are, let's say, lions, okay? Let's take off the foxes. Foxes are, they're pretty nice, okay? And then the prey here, let's just say elephants, right? Now, look how big elephants are, but the lions is going to make the elephants become a prey. So these lions are sitting here in the foxhole. First of all, what are they doing in the foxhole? First of all, they're lions. Lions have dens as well, but they don't have foxholes. So first of all, God's saying that you're out of place. Put that as number one. Out of place. Okay? What we just described at first, the anger, the hatred, those are all adjectives that describes how these people feel. Division, stress, jealous, malice, depression, cheating, lying, stealing, all those things, because they're predators, and that's a predator's job. But God said that, first of all, that's out of place. He said, you're not even a fox. You're a lion. What are you doing in the fox's den? These particular people are out of place all the time. That means that they're always into something that they shouldn't be. They're either into somebody's business, they're either into something they shouldn't be, they're either saying something they shouldn't be saying. And so it's out of place, God says. He says, "You, if you're a lion, then you need to be in the lion's den, right? If you're in Rome, then, you know, act like the Romans." And so this lion, this predator, first of all, is out of place. Then God goes on to say that in this particular den, this fox den, he says the lions are much bigger than the fox, right? I mean, if we look at the mass and if we look at the body structure and the pounds, these lions are much bigger, right? So, second of all, God says that it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And then finally, God says that there's no movement. And so because, first of all, we as predators are out of place, we're uncomfortable, there's no movement, yeah, we're going to be angry, yeah, we're going to have hatred, yeah, there's going to be division, yeah, there's going to be jealousy, yeah, there's going to be malice, stress, depression, lying, cheating, stealing, all those things. All of those things are going to happen because we're too busy sitting up in the lion's den or in the fox's den looking for prey. Why are we looking for prey? Why aren't we looking for God? That's what God is saying. God said, you know, some of us are so busy worried about what the Joneses are doing. Some of us are so busy worried about things that we shouldn't be worried about that we become complacent and we are not able to advance or move. And therefore, we lose focus of where God is. And that's how we become unaligned with the will of God and of God. That's why it's easy for people to be jealous of other people. That's why it's easy for people to be angry at other people. That's why it's easy for people just to say anything, because they're in a den. They're in an uncomfortable place. They're in a very uncomfortable situation. And because of that, these particular individuals, the predators, they have nothing going on. And because they have nothing going on, and because they're in the lion's den, the fox's den, and they're supposed to be in the lion's den, nothing goes right. So you could understand why these type of behaviors happen, the anger, the hatred, division, the jealousy, and the malice. You can pretty much understand that. Now then, so you have that. Let's go to the prey, P-R-E-Y. When we look at this situation with the lions who are in the fox's den, first of all, when we look at the prey, we look at elephants, and elephants are huge, right? I mean, if you look at an elephant's pretty big. They weigh a ton or so, a couple of tons, some of them. And elephants can really destroy people. I've heard of stories where elephants have actually mauled people. They have actually killed people because they're so huge. And if you notice, if you have the opportunity to go to the jungle, you will see that, or, you know, in Africa or wherever, you will see the elephants they're always together, right? Elephants are always together. And you will see that usually when the predator tries to catch an elephant, they usually try to catch them by water. Why do you think that is? Because the more weight you have in water, right, the more likely it is that you're going to go under the water. And lions and jaguars are very smart. They don't really catch elephants on land. They catch them in water. And what is God saying? God is saying that the predator, the enemy, seeks to destroy at our lowest points. The enemy seeks to destroy at our lowest points. It doesn't matter how big you are in the ministry. It doesn't matter what your name is and that you're a millionaire. It doesn't matter that you're a successful entrepreneur. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter what you have. The predator always is going to come at your lowest points. The enemy, God says, Satan is always going to come at your lowest points. Why? Because he's mad. Satan is upset. He's jealous. He's angry. He has stress. Nothing is going right for Satan because Satan was removed out of heaven, right? Because Satan was acting up in heaven, and God had to rebuke him and remove him. And so God says, do not be surprised at how small your predator is. Do not be surprised just because you live in a million-dollar house doesn't mean that a predator will not come and try to come in your life at your lowest points. So God says no matter how big you are, you could be big as an elephant in life. You could be prosperous. You're not immune. We're not immune to the predator. And I'm going to talk to the predators later, but I really want to focus on what God is saying at this point. God says that we, as prey, become giants. Okay? I know that this is a lot, but there are some people who are tracking, and you're gonna have to listen to this maybe one or two times to get it. Okay? Let me bring it into perspective because we're going somewhere. All right. So the number three represents the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we're getting ready to talk about the prey and how God says that he allows us to become giants in those type situations, the body, the soul, and the spirit. God says he works on those three things. That's why we had the number three, okay? And that's why we had the number three, and that's what it represents, body, soul, and spirit. Then I told you to write foxhole, and I gave you descriptions. I used science, social studies, and real world. I told you in science, I said this foxhole basically is used for foxes, their homes, their dwelling places. I said in social studies, I said, you know, we study about different wars. I said soldiers would go into these foxholes for protection. They would go to shoot across the field to the enemy. They, you know, we use that in target practice. Then I said in the real world, I gave you a demonstration of Miss Jessica McClure in 1987, and you can pull it up on YouTube, Jessica McClure, when she fell in that hole. I'm sure that many of you remember about baby Jessica, and now she's big Jessica because she's grown, okay? All right, and I told you to write the word fox, and I told you to put your name, Alfreda, okay? Then I told you about being whole. I said just because you see the Brazos River and you see water, I said each drop represents part of that water. If you take a drop of water out of the Brazos River, then you've taken a part of that Brazos River. It doesn't matter how big the river is, okay? And so now God is bringing this into perspective because he showed us the predator and the prey. He showed us a lion and he showed us elephants, and the prey appeared to be much bigger than the predator, which is the lion. As a matter of fact, the elephant weighs way more than a lion. And so in this particular analogy, what you need to understand in this first activity is that no matter how big you are, and we're not talking about weight, we're not talking about muscle mass, we're not talking about none of that, the physical part of your body, we're not talking about that. We're talking about no matter how big you think you are in society, who you are, no matter your title, no matter how much you praise God, no matter how much you love God, the predator is still there. You guys in the world call it hating, but But God calls it jealous. He calls it anger. He calls it malice. He calls it envy. He calls it depression. He calls it lying. He calls it cheating. He calls it stealing. The predator's out there because the predator has those characteristics. And now we're up to the point where God says that, yes, he says, because you love me, because you keep my commandments, because you're walking in the will of God, because I'm getting ready to open this door for you, because I blessed you with this, because I'm going to bless you with more things, because I love you, because my favor is on you, you are a prey to the world. Because the devil now knows it's no secret what God can do. And so, of course, the devil is sending out all of the predators, right? But God says, if you notice, before we get into this revelation, he says, if you notice, he says, the predator is smaller than the prey. Because God says he's bigger than Satan. So whatever you're going through, whatever storm you're going through, whatever division, divide, whatever indecisiveness, whatever struggle, whatever thing that you're going through, God says that he's bigger. You may feel like you're a prey. You may feel defeated. But God says that you are bigger. Why? Because he is your daddy. He is your father. And God says he's bigger than Satan. And that's something that we have to understand. Just because you hear about a battle, and we're talking about the struggles of life, and we're talking about the ignorance of life and the ignorance of foolish behavior, foolishness, God says just because you hear about things doesn't mean you have to run everything you hear about concerning you. Because God says that he's bigger than your predator. Let's talk about this. P-R-E-Y. Your predator. We're not even going to talk about a predator right now. All right? I'm going to tell you, you signed up to be a prey. You have signed up. Whether you wanted to sign up or not, you have signed up to be a prey. And in this signing up, I want you to draw a circle. Once you said yes to God, control of your life, some of us said, okay, God, I said yes to you, but I want this little fourth of my life. And guess what we just did? We just allowed the enemy a way, a foxhole. We just allowed the enemy a way to come into our lives. Lord, I want to be like you, but I need this little part of my life. I have to do this. We've just now created another foxhole. So what God is saying is, he says around you, there are many foxholes, right? He says, and when trouble comes, you run immediately to that foxhole because that's what you're used to, because you're not anchored. We're not anchored in God. We run into those foxholes. We drop our ministries. We drop our gifts. We drop our talents. We stop doing our best. We stop giving our best for God. We start worrying about the world. We stop being a great parent. We stop being a great wife or a great husband. We stop all of these things because we are now in a foxhole. We are now in a foxhole. And so instead of us becoming giants when these things come, we run to the foxhole. The foxhole is not for soldiers as far as God is concerned. The world, yes. God says your place of refuge is, put this under here, P-R-A-Y. He said that's your foxhole. He says you take everything to God in prayer. You don't come and build your own foxholes because of the storms of life or because of foolishness or because of people. You don't change your route from God. You don't compromise what God has given unto you because of people. You don't begin to build your own foxhole. That's the problem. You're building your own foxholes, and God didn't authorize you to go into the foxhole. So now you're in the foxhole, and you're mad. You're mad because it's uncomfortable. You're mad because there's nothing happening. There's no movement. You're mad at everybody else that you see in this foxhole. You're trying to get the prey, and the prey, P-R-E-Y, is able to escape because God is their father. Get out the foxhole. You are building foxholes around your own self. Nobody's building those foxholes but you. And God says in order to get out of those foxholes, we must pray. He says when the storms of life come, he says when foolishness come, when people come, he says we are supposed to pray. That is our place of refuge. When God says go in your secret place, he's not talking about lock yourself up in a closet. Many people think that they have to go in a closet and lock yourself up. Sometimes you don't have time to do that. Sometimes it happens when you're on the road. Sometimes it happens when you're at work. Sometimes it happens when you're flying in the air. To be able to have your place of refuge, which is in your heart, to pray to God. That's why God says you must hide my words, God's words, in our heart. That's why we have all of those things on Monday, that cleansing of the heart on Monday. But our job is not to go in the foxhole and get scared. That's not what God is asking. God says you have to pray in season and out of season. He says, yeah, when you go out into this world, you're going to have people, y'all say hating on you, but I say that there's jealous people. You're going to have angry people. You're going to have people that can't control their mouth. But God says that you are a giant. He says you're bigger than that. Read the story about Goliath. God says that you are a giant because he authorized you to be a giant. That's why the predators can only look, cast stones, but God says they can't touch you. Why? He says because they're only predators and they're in the foxhole. God says that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you're going to have to walk past foxholes. Sometimes you're going to have to deal near the foxholes. But God says you are a giant. He says the predators all have to step back. Why? God says because when anybody comes into him, he says every knee is going to have to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. So why is it that when we go out into the world, we want to become spooked? Somebody is acting foolish. We begin to be a foxhole, allowing the predator, the enemy, to come in. Why? God didn't give us the spirit of fear, and some people take that to a way another extreme. I'm going to say and do whatever I want to do. You can't do it. You're a predator. Not do praise business. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say pray that time. I said praise. Predators cannot do praise business. Predators cannot do the business of a prey, and predators cannot do the business of a praiser. That's why they're predators. That's why they're spectators. That's why they sit and watch. And God says that, yes, in life you're going to have those different instances where predators will try to come at you. He says, but God creates a giant. You're a giant. And he says that there is no predator who can overcome a giant. Satan is smaller than Jesus. That's why Satan is not in heaven. Satan is on earth, and God is in heaven because he is a giant. So why is it that we are so vulnerable to become a prey who builds a foxhole? You're not a predator. You're not angry with anybody. You don't hate on anybody. You're not jealous of anybody. Why are you building foxholes? Why are you even in the foxhole? Why are you even on that side? Why are you just spectating? Why aren't you moving? You're not a predator. You're a prey because you're doing the will of God. And God says, praise are giants. And guess what? At your lowest moment, whatever that is, you know what it is. I don't know what it is. At your lowest moment, that's when these small predators try to defeat the prey. But they can't because they're covered by God. God said that you will encounter many predators on this journey. And we still walking, y'all. We still in the area and perimeter. We still in that. But we're not going to get to that right now because I want you to understand I have to strengthen your minds through the power of God. Pray. Yes, you are. On the food chain, you are a prey. Everybody is after you because you're after God. When you sign up to be after God, everybody's going to be after you. That's just the sacrifice we make. You can't stop somebody from being a predator, but God can. So stop trying. It's very important. Very important to understand your role. You are a prey. Yes, there are probably people saying things about you. Yes, there are people hating on you. Yes, there are people. Yes, all that. Yes. That's why we have the cleansing of the hearts every day. Yes. But God says you are a giant. He says they can talk, they can look, but they can't touch you because you belong to him. So stop worrying about where they at. Looking for the foxholes. And then when you see one, you get scared. No, God didn't give you that spirit. He said you're going to go to some places, you're going to minister in some places where there are going to be foxholes everywhere around you. And then they're going to be worshipers, of course. You're going to go into some places where people are intimidated. They're afraid of the gift that God has given you. He said, what are you going to do? You going to run away? You going to get in your foxhole and allow the enemy to come in? No, we don't do that. God says we have to be anchored. We have to be anchored. God didn't give us a box to live in. He says, I'm giving you your body, your mind, and your soul. And how you choose to do that dictates if you're going to heaven or hell. What profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and to relinquish your soul for the world because you're afraid? Because people are building foxholes, because the predators are looking at you, because the predators, as y'all say, are hating on you, because the predators are jealous of you. If you're worried about that, then there is no possible way that you can do kingdom work. There is no possible way that you can continue walking to the will of God, because by you worried about all that, your mind and brain is tired. What am I supposed to do, worry about the predator or try to get to the will of God? What am I supposed to do? No, you have to go past that stuff. Yes, they're going to be predators. Mm-hmm, yeah. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much money you don't have. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you work, where you live, there are predators. Yes. But God said that you are a giant. Those elephants, when those lions come, those lions, as I said before, catch those elephants at their weakest points, which is in the water, because elephants are big, I'm telling you. Have you ever been at your weakest point? Of course, we all have. But that's where the strength comes. The strength comes from the word of God. And God says pray, as in P-R-A-Y now. When you pray, God says not only do you become a giant, he says, but you become powerful. You become powerful. Why? Because you're functioning under the unction of the Holy Spirit. When you function, when you're under the authority of God, when you're under the anointing of God, or God has authorized you to do a certain task, God will not allow you to be touched. We're not talking about a physical touch. People can say whatever they want to say, but God is going to allow you to prosper and thrive. People have given up, threw in the towel. God has caused you to do something. Stop singing in the choir. Stop ushering. Because somebody, a predator, has said something. A predator has approached you, a claim close to you. Somebody's gotten on your nerves. In the Spirit of God, you don't have any nerves. You have to be patient, especially when we're waiting on God. Okay? So, yes, I'm going to be the first to tell you. We are prey. P-R-E-Y. Yes, we are. But God says that we are also giants. And predators, at your lowest point, when you feel like giving up, when you're crying at night or in the day, whenever you cry, whatever you do, when you're angry, when somebody's made you mad, that's when the predator comes in. It's your lowest point. Because the predator knows that if they catch you during your strongest point, that they can't touch you. That's why it's always important, God said, to pray. He says, because when you pray, not only do you become a giant, he says, but you become powerful. Okay? So from that particular analogy, I want you to understand yes, you are a prey. Yes, there are some people, not all people. Now, I don't want you to be paranoid and say, okay, everybody hates me. No. There are some people, and I'm being real because this ministry is real. There are some people who don't want to see you do great, and there are some people who want to see you do a great job. I'm one of those people. I want to see you succeed. I don't have anything to be jealous about, angry about, wanting something that you have. I'm not that type of person. I've always been the giving person. I've always wanted to help people. I've always wanted people to succeed, and I've always applauded people who succeeded. Never was a hater, never will be a hater. There's nothing to hate on. Now, I do compete with myself a lot. I do. But with other people, I don't, because I'm too busy trying to get to where God wants me to be. And when we talk about spirituality, we automatically sign up for that. I've dealt with some of the nicest people in the world, and then I've had two or three people within my whole lifetime whom I've experienced as being just foolish. And that's okay, because if we didn't have those type people in the world, this world would be boring and we wouldn't learn anything. The experiences that I have with people, I always learn something new, and you should too. Always learn something new. So what you need to know about the prey is that we're giants, and you must pray in order to continue to be powerful and continue to be that giant. All right. Now, I do want to talk to the predators a little bit. As I said before, predators, you need to come out the foxhole. I'm going to tell you that right now, because in the foxhole, God says that you're like Lazarus. He says you're dead. Not only are you dead weight, he says, but you're dead to the kingdom because you're useless to the kingdom. And you're very valuable to the world because the world likes chaos. The world likes mess. The world likes undisciplined mouths, and the tongue is a fiery sepulcher that destroys you as a person, the predator. Nobody really wants to admit that I'm a predator. Matter of fact, there's nobody, even the animals, they will shy away from even acknowledging that they're the predator until the prey gets close. So nobody wants that title. But because of our actions, sometimes we become the predators. What you must understand about becoming a predator is you have now signed up on Satan's top list. So Satan's going to have you doing a lot of things because you have a big role to play. Let's pretend like this is a script. We're going to the arts and sciences now, y'all. Because I want to tell you, praise and predators, I love both of you because I have to, because God says that you have to love every person on earth. But God says we must also identify what we see. And so when we talk about the predator, and I don't want anybody to get too comfortable, because predators can be church people, predators can be worldly people, predators can be preachers, predators can be teachers, predators can be anybody. But I want us to go into the fine arts department. You know, let us all pretend like we're a predator, and then we're going to talk about the wholeness, and then I'm going to give you some announcements and bid you good night. All right, predators, you guys are supposed to be the tough guys, but for some reason, the prey are always bigger than you are because they have God on their side. But when you are a predator, the synopsis or the overall main idea of the story is that you seek to destroy. At least that's what I heard. You seek to destroy. That's the synopsis. Are we talking about destroying buildings? Are we talking about, what are we talking about? When we talk about destruction, we're talking about destroying things that are unified. We're talking about things that destroy peace. We're talking about, sometimes it is buildings and places and things of that nature, but we're mostly focusing on the destruction of how you move through people. Predator, yeah. So we have to call this out. When we talk about the predator, a predator is very, they're very crafty, meaning they come as, sometimes they come as a thief. God says that he comes as a thief in the night. But when we look at that particular rhetoric, and when we look at the predator coming as a thief is two different comings. We know that God said he come as a thief in the night. So when God comes, it's a surprise, but it's a pleasant surprise, and sometimes it's a shock. But when the predator comes, it's never pleasant. It's always chaos. It's always bigotry. It's always things when the predator comes. But when we talk about the predator, you have a big role to play. And your role, this is how Satan talks to all his predators who sign up. He says, you know, I'm glad to have you in my midst. He says, and you have a big role to play in this world. And your role is only to seek and destroy the kingdom of God. And you begin to look at Satan, and Satan is drawing closer to you. He said, listen. He says, y'all huddle in. We're a team here. He says, your demeanor has to fit your actions. This is Satan now. He says you have to be angry. He says you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be jealous. You have to hate on people. You have to have an undisciplined mouth. Your hands have to be used to shed blood or to cause harm to somebody. Your eyes have to look at things that it shouldn't. Your ears have to hear gossip. Because you have to know where to go in order to destroy God's people. And so be attentively to what Satan is saying. And as they listen to what Satan is saying, they begin to take on these personalities. You know how you read a script? And when you read a script, then you pretty much know your character. You pretty much know how you have to act. And so they began to take on this particular persona. And once they take on this personality, then they begin to destroy things, and they act all of these things out. And so I'm going to talk to the predators as soon as we finish playing this one particular song by Mary Mary, Can't Give Up Now, because now that the predator is out, you cannot give up at this particular time. This is not the time to give up or give in. So this is Can't Give Up Now by Mary Mary, and we're going to finish our synopsis. You're listening to the AfreeLoveShow.com, SellerGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. Amen. So let's finish our story here. So once the devil begins to describe all of these dimensions, then the prey, P-R-E-Y, goes into that particular stance of I can't give up now. And so what happens is the predators are getting ready to move into their foxholes. Notice that I said their foxholes because that's their limitless territory, the foxholes. They build those particular foxholes in order to watch and observe. Notice that they go to and fro, watching and observing in order to see what they can destroy and devour. So in the meantime, you have prey who are going about the business of God and focusing on God, and they're going into these dangerous scenes and unseen. I know you've heard about that. And when we talk about dangerous seen and unseen, we're talking about predators, y'all, people that just sit and watch because they're on assignment for Satan. And so when this particular thing happens, predators, you need to understand that when you are in the foxhole, you have limited yourself to the blessings of God. Because now, since you're in the foxhole, you have become a worker of iniquity. Because you are working for Satan. And Satan only destroys things. He doesn't bring any unity to things. And so when the time comes, because guess what? I told you that the prey have their down moments, and so does the predators. So when the devil sends you out on assignment and you accomplish that assignment to destroy and devour and to cause mess and to do things, then the devil, when you come back to the foxhole, is gone. The devil doesn't sit there and comfort you. But when a prey is down to his or her lowest point, God always remains there. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you are a predator, you need to consider that, because in your foxhole, you're going to have many who are with you because that's your dwelling place. But when you get to your lowest points, those particular predators, they're going to be watching and looking for their next prey. They're not going to be concerned about your lowest moments, not even Satan. And then you're going to be calling out unto God, and you have built yourself a foxhole, and God says he doesn't dwell in the unclean temple. Think about that. And so you built yourself a foxhole. Then you start singing that song, Lord, I wonder why, pretty voice, why good fortunes pass me by. Well, you in the foxhole, first of all. You a person, you shouldn't even be in the hole. That's number one. Number two, you sitting up here looking at all these individuals working for the kingdom of God. You're gossiping, you're angry with them, you're backbiting, you're lying, you're cheating, doing all these things in the foxhole. But you want God to come to your rescue and bless that. It's not going to happen. So I'm telling you today, I'm asking, come out of the foxhole. You are a predator if you're angry, uncomfortable, lying, cheating, stealing, jealous, hating, malice, all that. You are a predator. Come out of the foxhole. That's God's message today. Come out of the foxhole. For the prey, you are a giant. Yes, the devil's going to try to come in at your lowest moment. Do not build a foxhole. God says you pray. He says even in your darkest moment, he says you pray unto him. That's your place of refuge, not the foxhole. Not the foxhole. Amen. Before we have one more song, I want to say this. Life is good, and God is going to continue to bless. And I'm speaking to the praise right now. You must pray, and you must pray faithfully, not only for the prey, but for the predators as well, because they're lost. And if truth be told, we have all played the role of a predator at some point or another, whether it's our thoughts, whether it's gossip, whether it's us actually just acting a fool. We all have when we was unsaved, when we didn't know God. But at this particular time, it's time to come out the foxhole, because I'm going to tell you right now, you're watching all of the prey. And you're going to have the opportunity come close to a prey. You can look at them. You can talk about them. Can't touch them, says the Lord. He says, because those belong to me. If you are a predator, then you need to consider becoming a prey. Because God says the predators are small. He says they think small, they live small, they are small. And he's not talking about in body composition. He's talking about in intellect. He's talking about in the spirit realm, in the body, the mind, and the soul. That's why we had the number three. He says, but the prey are giants. They know when to keep their mouth closed. They do things decent and in order. And they know when to pray. That's what makes them giants. Their body size. God says you can have all the strength in the world. You can be as big as you want to be. You can be as big as the elephant. As far as your strength. He says, but if you don't have God in your life, he says you're small. He says, think about Popeye the Sailor Man. Popeye only received strength when he ate his spinach. If Popeye didn't eat spinach, or if he ran out, then he lost all his strength. God says, he is our spinach. And as long as we continue to hide the word of God in our hearts, we will continue to have strength. He says, and yes, sometimes we lose strength because of the world. He says, well, we must regain it. And then he goes on to say, what profit a man or a woman to lose his or her soul, to gain the whole world, and lose his or her soul. Predators and prey, ladies and gentlemen. Which are you? And if you are a prey, continue in the word of God. If you are a predator, consider becoming a prey. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play one more song, and it's entitled He Was There All the Time by the Reverend James Moore. And I want you to understand and recognize as you begin to experience blessings, as we all go our separate ways and meet up again this week, tomorrow, God's will, I want you to understand that God is always there. That's the difference. That's the benefit. One of the benefits of being a prey is God is always there, all the time. When I heard about the predator and prey as a young kid from my science teacher and when I was attending Catholic school and other schools, I didn't think of a predator and a prey as Satan and Jesus. I was innocent. I was a child. But I knew that the predator was a bad animal. And I knew that the prey was innocent. I knew that the prey would always be covered with their flock and you know, just like sheep. That's what I did know. But as I grew older, God began to show me the symbolism. He says, you know, the prey and the predator, he says, that's Satan and God. In school, you don't learn that. You learn that it's science and you learn that it's two animals. That's what you learn. And you learn about the food chain. And we're going to talk about that later as it relates to spirituality. They have a separation of religion and school. But in looking at this, that's all it is, predator and prey. So whatever you choose to be, know that God sees and he's watching. And God is not in a foxhole. And God is not just in heaven. God says, I'm everywhere. And so we must be very careful that we choose ye this day whom we shall serve, who we will serve. And I hope that it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Mr. Reverend James Moore. He was there. We talk about God all the time.
Waiting patiently.
Amen, amen, amen. And that was Mr. James Moore. Listen, listen, listen. So remember, once again, you have to identify yourself as a predator or a prey. If you are a prey, keep praying. And if you are a predator, come out of the foxhole. Amen. Amen. Listen, I have a couple of announcements. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Or you can go to freetoloveshow.com and click on Number One Love Radio. Or you can go to stellargospelmusic.com and click on Number One Love Radio. Gospel artists, writers, promoters, actors, actress, anyone with a positive, positive message, please, 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 Facebook at freetolove at ALFREDALOVE. Or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the AfreedaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com. In addition to that, make sure you continue to pray for all of your family members and your friends. Put them all in one line and identify what each and every one of them need and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself and pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous avails much. In addition to that, continue to make sure that you check out AfreedaLoveShow.com. Check out all of the aspects. We're actually updating the AfreedaLoveShow.com and actually the StellarGospelMusic.com. Listen, I have an announcement to make, because I want you to attend if you're in the Central Texas area. On December the 3rd and the 10th, we have Santa's Christmas Gift Store, 50 to 80% off everything. Where is this going to be at? The Bellmead Civic Center, 3900 Parrish Street, Bellmead, Texas, right behind the high school. Questions, you can email me, EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. For who? These are gifts for everyone. I posted some of the gifts online, and I'm going to post some more. When is this? From 1 to 6 p.m. December 3rd and the 10th. Percentage of the proceeds will go to St. Jude's. The host is Dr. Love and radio stations. You will see some of these flyers around. You will also, if you look in the newspaper on Wednesday, God's Will, and Friday, you will see a little advertisement for the gift store. So please be sure to come out, especially if you're in the Bellmead area. If you're in Central Texas, just come. Stop by. It's at the Bellmead Civic Center. If you have a particular event at the Bellmead Civic Center at that time, be sure to come on in and find your gift. All items are $13 or less. So please be sure to come and help support a great cause. Listen, if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love is true, because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, be sure to come back. Take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda. Love.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.